Sure. Sounds good. Thank you, Chad. Well, we're back from Italy. The last two Sundays, we've been at churches in Italy and having an awesome time. My mind keeps going back to last Sunday. Today, I keep thinking of the service we were in last week was so good. It was so good. It was an Italian church, well, Filipino church in Padova, Italy. And we were there, and it was stifling hot. It's probably around 100 degrees outside, no air conditioning. It was hotter in the building than it was outside the building. Seriously, I mean, not even close. It was like when you walked into the building, it got significantly hotter. And they did have fans blowing, but it's like blowing hot air, you know, like really hot air. Humid, people in the room. And it was one of those mornings, I knew it was going to be a morning like that. But the anointing was so amazing. Thank you guys for praying for us. You kind of come into that, and you know, kind of in the back of my mind is probably the thought like, okay, Jeff, you know, pace yourself, because it's super hot. And I think I was wearing this outfit. And I, you know, so I don't get to wear shorts like I wish I could have. But I'm in there, and I'm like, okay, just pace yourself. You know, you have energy at the end of the service as well. But from the very beginning, the anointing was so strong in the worship, I was like, ah, throw caution to the wind. I just started dancing. And that really makes me sweat. And so by the time the service was done, I mean, my clothes were clinging to me. But I love it when that happens. That's usually the evidence of a good service, to be honest with you. When your outfit's clinging to you because you've been worshiping with abandonment and you don't care about the elements, you've had a good church service. That's the truth. And so God was just moving powerfully. The worship was amazing. The word came forth in power. People responded to the word. God was moving at people at the altar. It was just an amazing time. Super blessed. Thank you guys for praying with us. We ministered. Autumn did a dream seminar at a church in Florence. They were so hungry for the word of God. Seriously, I wish everybody in the world could just be there and see the hunger for the word of God and for the presence of the Lord. It was the funnest atmosphere to minister in. It was so fun. And they were just hungry for the word. Then we were at the youth conference. It's their national youth conference. So this network of Filipino churches, they have 67 churches in Europe. They have some in the Philippines too, so that might include there. And they're just on fire for God, and they bring all their youth together in one national conference. So there are over 200 youth there. They're hungry for the Lord. The presence of God was awesome. I was super pleased with all the ministry that took place. So thank you for the prayers. God truly answered those prayers. I felt like I was super happy with what he did during those times. So I felt like it went really well. It was very, very blessed. So thank you for covering us. It makes a huge difference. We've learned when we go on ministry trips, when we have a concentrated prayer covering, it's significant. We've really felt the difference. And so we know that you guys are covering us back here. So we appreciate that. And it's good to be back. We're very happy to be home. It's very fun to go. And then by the end, it's really exciting to get back. And just get back to home. There's no place like home. Get back into your normal rhythm of life, which is really good. So praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about something that's been stirring in my heart this week. And I may talk about it next week as well. We'll see what happens. But I want to talk about responding to the reality of apostasy. Now, apostasy is a fancy word for turning away, denying the faith, turning away from Christ. And it's a biblical reality, and where people who knew Jesus and walked with Jesus can actually turn away from their faith and even deny their faith and end up in hell for all of eternity, where once they had eternal life because they did not persevere in following Jesus. And I just want to talk about it because it's in the news in the last month. I don't know if some of you follow it. Of course, there's great, since the beginning, the early church in the book of Acts, you know, in the first century, there were people who knew Jesus and turned away from the faith. I mean, it's always happened all through the ages. There's been people who knew Jesus and ended up turning away. I could tell you stories of lots of people I've known over the years who, without a doubt, were on fire for God, passionate lovers of Jesus. I mean, would take a stand for sound doctrine in the Word of God, who ended up totally turning away from the Lord and living a sinful life. And, you know, there's been some, you know, somewhat well-known Christian leaders, even in the last month or so, who have kind of gone public. One of them is an author that, I love this guy. I mean, I remember when I was a youth pastor, his name is Josh Harris, and when I was a youth pastor, he wrote a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. It's an excellent book, and it was so needed. And I remember when I was a youth pastor, just like encouraging my youth to read this book and look at how you go about the dating, courtship, whatever you want to call it, process to find a spouse in a godly way. In a biblical way, had excellent biblical wisdom, encouraging people to remain virgins until they get married and to honor the Word of God in their sexuality and things. Super good book. There's another book. I got it. I can't remember the title of it now. It was another one with a little more detail that he wrote on that. Super excellent book, a lot of wisdom. I've passed it out to several of you, actually, and had you read it. I've had my son read it. My daughter's read part of it or all of it, I don't know. Lots of godly wisdom in there, but just a month ago, the news came out where he says, you know, I'm divorcing my wife. And I'm like, oh, that's sad right there. But then he comes out a little bit after that and he says, well, there's more to it. One of the reasons I'm divorcing my wife is because I've had a massive shift and I'm turning away. I don't the things I used to believe, I don't believe anymore. And I renounce everything I wrote in my books. And then he even came out and was like, you know, I want to apologize to the LGBTQ movement and for not being more inclusive. And just then shortly after that, another article comes out. He was marching in a gay pride parade in Vancouver. And I don't know if he's gay, but it's just totally. And he even said it. He says the biblical term for what I'm doing right now is falling away from the faith. And my heart, when I hear these stories, like I do not look down on people like that, like in arrogance, as if that could not be me, because I know it could. What it does in me is I feel pain in my heart. I feel mourning and grief in my heart, and I feel soberness, and the fear of the Lord grips my spirit. And I say, God, protect me, because I know this person. You know, like, I don't know them, but I mean, I know their stuff. I followed some of their teaching. It was good stuff. I mean, this wasn't somebody who was always on the fringe. You're kind of like, maybe they're saved, maybe they're not. They were, like, solid. And now to blatantly, brazenly, publicly say with your own mouth, I'm denying my faith and turning away from the teachings of the Word of God that I once espoused. What it does is I feel God have mercy on that person. And I believe God can move and bring them to repentance. I really do believe that. And I'm praying for him. God, bring him to repentance. Because I can't imagine, like to me, being in hell for all eternity is the most awful thing that could happen to anybody. But to me, it's even worse to be there burning in hell and thinking about, I had him and I gave him up. Like, I wasn't one of the ones who never heard the name of Jesus. I knew the name of Jesus. I led other people to Jesus. And then I turned away from the faith, and here I am. And I just, to me, that would be the most awful tormenting thing, is to experience hell. And then to know that even through my turning away from the faith, I influenced others to deny theirs. That would be a very awful feeling. I think of a story. There was a big fire at like a house or an apartment complex. Firefighters were there, and this firefighter was like grieving, like just overcome with grief and emotion because of a little girl, young little girl, who died in the fire in the building. And this is what he said. He was like, I rescued her. I rescued her. Because he had already rescued her out of the building. But then she remembered like a toy or something like that that was back, and she ran in after it and died. I think that's what it's like, I think, how the Father feels when he comes and he rescues us out of darkness. He rescues us out of sin. And then we remember a sin, a worldly pleasure, and we go back in after it and perish in the fires of hell forever. And I believe with all my heart, I believe that God, the grief he would feel because he loves us intensely. And so I just want to talk about it this morning because the Bible says not only that, and I just want to encourage again, I fear the Lord. Like, I do not say words like, what's wrong with that person? How could they do that? They're stupid. I don't say that. I know how they could do that. I know very well that could very well be me someday, except for the grace of God. And if I don't continue to walk in the fear of the Lord and do what I know the Word says I need to do, just because I did it in a season of my life for decades doesn't mean I'll do it for the next several decades. I have to make choices every day. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I die daily. And I have to choose to die to sin, die to my flesh, die to the world daily, take up my cross, follow Jesus. Because Paul said it like this in another place. He says, I run with perseverance the race marked out for me so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Because even the Apostle Paul, he knew, he's like, man, I've led millions of people to Jesus. I've written scripture. Yet, if I do not continue following Jesus, I very well could be disqualified. It produces soberness in me when I see this stuff. And even more so because I pray prayers like this. Lord, protect me and my children and my wife and my spiritual children. Protect us, God, that we would not fall away from you. Strengthen us, God, to overcome the spirit of the age rather than be overcome by it. Because there is a momentum all around us that's been building to a climactic point. It's a demonic spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of the age, the Bible refers to it, that's creating a culture and an environment in the earth that pulls people away from devotion to Jesus. And that movement, a demonic movement, is intensifying, accelerating in momentum in the earth even now. And the Bible makes it very clear that many will turn away from the faith at the end of the age. You guys with me? Many will turn away from the faith at the end of the age because of demonically energized societal pressures. And I just began, I was in an airport a lot this week. And so I had time to think. And as I'm like thinking in the airports, my heart was burning with this. And I was imagining, like, what are the circumstances that are going to create a great falling away from the faith, even among genuine believers in the earth? Of course, the Bible gives us a lot of information about that. And there's so much about it. I could preach for months on this one topic nonstop every single week. There's so much. If you want to read two great books about this, just to read more about this subject of apostasy and falling away and how to not do that, how to persevere, 2 Peter and Hebrews. 2 Peter and Hebrews. There's lots more in the Bible about it, but almost the entire book of 2 Peter is written on this subject. to believers of how not to deny the faith. And you can deny the faith, and warning us to do what we need to do to stay close to Jesus. Hebrews was actually written to Jewish followers of Jesus who had embraced him as Messiah, but were now contemplating turning away from him as the only way to salvation, and kind of mixing, again, going back to mixing a little some Jesus with the works from their Jewish faith and obedience. You know, they have to obey the law and all this kind of stuff. The whole book of Hebrews is written to those people. Do not turn away from the faith. And talking about how Jesus is the real deal. Thank you. I think of it, though, it's like there will be two powerful movements in the earth at the end of the age. One that is moving toward Christ, because there's a great outpouring of the Spirit, a great missions movement, and a great harvest of souls. God is, the Spirit and the bride are going to say, come in unity to Jesus. And the Spirit is preparing the bride to be pure and spotless and blameless. And there's a pruning process that even the great falling away produces in those who remain true to Jesus. There's a pruning that happens, because even as people around us turn away from the Lord, and I don't think it's going to be the majority of believers, but I think it will be a significant enough percentage that everybody in the body of Christ across the world is going to take note. There is a movement, a demonic movement. There is a separating of the wheat and chaff that's happening in the church right now. And I would not be surprised if, you know, time will tell, if we're in the beginning stages even now of this movement, so to speak. You know, it's interesting. I'm just going to talk for a little bit, okay? And then I'm going to look at scriptures. And I'm just going to muse, so weigh all this with a grain of salt. This is my meanderings in my mind that have been happening over the last week as I'm contemplating the great falling away. It's like right now, there's like some kind of environment in the earth for movements to be birthed and catch wind and go viral. And that's good, and it's negative. There's negative movements that are catching fire in the earth. The spirit of the age is behind it, and just people are not thinking, honestly. Rational thinking is like getting flushed down the toilet in society and in culture. And even things that sinners of past generations would have said, that is completely ludicrous. And they're not even believers, but they could just look at it logically and they would be like, you are not a girl, you are a man. Seriously. And it would just be like, okay, like I am whatever kind of little movement that is, I have no part of that because that's not even rational. Like that's just, they wouldn't even go there. But there's a demonic energy. And there's people who are just, they go with their emotions and they go with whatever's trendy. And they even throw logic out the window many times and get caught up in these emotionally charged. And I will tell you this, there are actual demonic spirits behind the scenes who are charging the negative emotions. There are movements happening in the United States of America right now that are fueled with hatred. The anti-Trump movement. But there are demons behind that. There's witchcraft that's stirring that up. I'm just going to say it. It's absolutely true. And I grieve for a believer who's like so into the anti-Trump. I'm like, do you know what spirit you're drinking from right now? I'm thankful for President Trump. I don't agree with everything he does. I could say that about everybody. but here's the deal. But that intense anti-Trump thing, it's a demonically charged movement. And you don't want to be caught up in that, because let me tell you, all the demonically charged movements, they're like streams in the earth that are converging together into one mega movement that's leading to the worship of an antichrist. anti-Semitic movement, the LGBTQ movement, demonically charged movements, every single one of them, that are designed by Satan to enslave people to that God loves, to deceive people that God cares about, and to enslave them to demonic powers and to sin. It's demonic movements. And there's tons. I could go on and on about all these movements. I'll just say this while I'm on it. The liberal movement, politically, the liberal movement, I believe, in the United States of America is largely demonically charged movement. It's a largely demonically charged movement that is actually, I believe, that the Antichrist spirit is in it. The harlot, the spirit of the harlot is in it. It's charged by demons, and those who are caught up in it are being swept toward a direction. And there's tons of sin in the Republican Party. There's tons of sin and all that. So I'm not advocating one party over another. I'm just calling it like it is. As a man of God, when I see demons fueling a movement, I'm going to tell the people God's put in, me in charge of, don't be a part of that movement. It's going a direction that will take you away from the faith. And we need wisdom and we need discernment. We really do. We need wisdom and discernment in the body of Christ to discern the difference between what is good and what is evil. And to be excellent at what is good and innocent of what is evil. I have nothing to do with that. And we need to ask, like, what is this? What spirit is involved behind this thing? And then there's other movements, like there's a mixture. There's some good that are happening in them. And then there's human sin that's also manifesting in the midst of it. And we need discernment, like which part of this is good that we need to bless, and which part of this is not good that we need to abstain from. Like, for example, I'm already out there today, so I'm just going for it. Put it on YouTube. Here I go. Like the feminist movement. Demonic or good? Both. Not really. Because there has been, like, the heart of God grieves over so much oppression that has been done against women. And there is, I believe, even a move of God that is trying to right the wrong on some of that. But then, of course, in the midst of that, there's also demonic. There's people who are reacting out of bitterness, and they're fueled by hatred. You guys with me? And it's like, we have to discern. We have to discern on that. Like, I'm not going to throw away the whole thing. I'm like, no, you know what? Like, women have been oppressed. You know, I would say the same with different movements that are happening in the United States with civil rights. Demonic or God? Both. There has been racism. There has been a gross, awful injustice that's been done toward minorities and different things like that. Like awful, evil, demonic stuff that's been done. Sinful things that have been done. And God is bringing forth justice. And he's going to bring forth justice on all these things. At the same time, there's a lot of demonic stuff in that movement where people are reacting out of bitterness. And there's hatred that's fueling it and wanting to just make it go worse. You guys with me? And we are living in a season, and it's going to get this way more and more before Jesus returns. We need wisdom. We need discernment. And we need to be excellent at what is good and innocent of what is evil. We need to excel in that which God calls good and give ourselves fully to it and bless it. And we need to be innocent and have nothing to do with that which is evil, even though all our friends are doing it, and even though our professors are doing it, and even though it's like there's penalties that are brought against us for not engaging in it. We say, you know what? I'm living for Jesus, and I live for the reward that comes from him, and his reward will far outweigh any penalties you're going to impose on me. And then we need to learn how to do this in the midst of it. How do we walk in love and speak the truth all at the same time? We need to grow in this. And here's one of the mistakes. Here's one of the reasons I think some people are following away from the faith right now. I think one of the reasons people are falling away from the faith is because they try to, for example, the LGBTQ movement, they try to sympathize with them and not come across as like a hater. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry, whatever. You know what I mean? But then they don't speak truth. And then some are like, well, technically, I believe what the Bible says, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know, they can make their choice. That's up to them. I'm like, that's not love. So you're just going to watch them go to hell. You know they're going to hell, and you don't care enough about to do anything about it? Because if you say something, it might create some hardship for you. That's not love. We need to learn how to love the person while speaking truth and not affirming their sin. You guys with me? And we need to get good at that. We need to grow in that. I'm just talking right now. This is serious. If you know the amount of information in the Bible that talks about a movement of a great falling away at the end of the age, do you know the volume of information in the scriptures? Huge volume of information about this. Warning after warning to keep the faith, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once given. Warning against apostasy. Warning to, in soberness, be holy because God is holy. And there's going to be false prophets, false teachers, false apostles who will lead many astray. And there's so many scriptures. So many. And I'm in 2 Peter right now. 2 Peter, the whole book. This is the last thing Peter writes before he dies. That's recorded as scripture. And you know what he says? He says, I'm going to warn you about these things that I've been warning you about. And he's talking about not following false teachers. He's talking about the intensity of the sin and falling away and apostasy at the end of the age. And he says, I'm going to write this down to leave a reminder for you so that after I'm gone, you'll have this to refer back to. It's like, this is important. Here's what good shepherds do. Here's what good parents do. Good shepherds, good leaders, good parents, they affirm, encourage the people that they're leading. They build them up. They tell them, this is who God says you are. This is what God says you can do. This is what's amazing about you. That's what they do. But you know what they also do? They warn. They warn. Part of good parenting is warning. It's not fun to have the conversation with your child when you're like, don't get into a car with a stranger offering you candy. How many of you know, that's not a fun conversation to have. I didn't enjoy this conversation because I'm like, oh, they're going to say why. And then I'm going to have to like, awkward and like how much I want to like let you know so you don't do something stupid that's going to hurt you. But I don't want to give too much information to put you in fear. You guys with me? Like, we walk through this stuff as parents all the time, but what do good parents do? Good parents are willing to put themselves in, work through those things to warn their kids. And what I love about God is he's a good shepherd, and he's a good father, and he's the one who authored the Holy Scriptures, and the Scriptures are filled with promises of a movement of God at the end of the age. The Great Commission is going to be completed. God's bride is going to be made pure and spotless. We're going to be walking in mature love and the power of the Spirit. It's going to be awesome, but he also writes in the scriptures, warning, many will fall away. This is all the stuff that the enemy is going to be doing. Guard your heart. Here's what you need to do to avoid the negative and stay close to me and be part of the movement of God at the end of the age. And we need to heed the warnings and the promises of Scripture. Amen? Well, I'm just going to read some Bible verses and talk then more. I feel burning in me right now. Okay, that's a great question and super relevant. I'm glad you brought that up. She asked, what do you do about churches who actually say that sin, like homosexuality or any kind of sexual immorality, is okay and it's permissible? You can do that and follow Jesus at the same time. And here's what I would do. Run. Get far away from that so-called church. It's not a church. A church is not a church because it has a sign that says church. A church is a collection of people who are followers of Jesus. They live according to his word. So I tell people and they're like, well, I go to this so-called church. And the pastor, the leadership, you know, they're saying that sexual immorality is okay. And that it's okay, and we need just to be tolerant. I would say that's not a church. It's a false prophet. That's a false teacher. That's pretty bold, but that's the truth. You just got to call. It is what it is. The Bible says it really plain. When somebody is preaching at you in a way to convince you to disobey the teachings of Jesus and to comfort you in a lifestyle of compromise and disobedience, there's a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit that they're operating under. Get away from them. The Bible says don't even entertain them in your house. Read 3 John and 2 John and 1 John. Those are other good books to study. Seriously, they're short. But seriously, don't even entertain them in your house. They are dangerous. So that's my answer. I really would tell somebody that. Get out of there. Get your kids out of there. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Don't walk around slandering them all over the city. But I would say, wipe the dust off your feet and go find a group of believers who follow the teachings of Jesus and who follow the word of God and be with them, because that's a true church. And there's lots of good churches all over the nation and all over the city. There's tons of great churches that hold to the word of God that you can be a part of. We're so blessed in America. There are so many options for us that are excellent options. Even in this city, there's all kinds of great churches. Tons of them. I could go on listing a bunch of them, but like the Assembly of God Church, Bethesda. I mean, there's so many great ones. Huron Christian, that I know for a fact they love the word of God. These are awesome people, so... Anyway, there are good options out there for us. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe I'll talk about this next week. I thought about preaching next week a sermon on be careful who your heroes are. And talking about the false teacher things. But, and the Bible does say, I think it's 3 John, maybe it's 2 John. He's like, he's talking about false teachers. And he's like, do not even show hospitality to them in your home. Because here's why, here's what was happening. You got to understand the culture of the church there. The culture of the church there was they were house churches. And they had families and churches all over the place, house churches. And there would be apostles and prophets and teachers and who would actually be itinerant And they would travel around to different cities and visit different house churches throughout the cities, teaching and strengthening the body of Christ there. And you see that in Acts chapter, I think it's 13. I think Acts chapter 13, where a prophet comes to the church in Antioch and he prophesies about a famine that would be coming to Jerusalem, and they take up an offering. But he was one of the prophets who would go around to the different churches and minister, and the church would be strengthened by their gift. But there were also some who were false prophets, false teachers, who would do the same thing. And you see in the epistles, in 2 John, 3 John, he's talking to them about this. 2 Peter, huge book about this. He's like, you have to discern. You know, Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy a lot. But he's like, you have to discern what the ones that are from the Lord and not. And the ones that are not, don't welcome them into your home and show hospitality. Because when these traveling preachers would come through, they wouldn't. It's not like they were staying in hotels. People would welcome them into the home. It's like, oh, you're a gift from the Lord to our churches here. You can stay, and they would feed them, and they would, which would enable them to facilitate their ministry and strengthen the churches in their area. Does this make sense? And so John's writing to them is like, don't entertain those guys and enable them to facilitate their bad stuff all over the place. Like, don't even welcome them into your home. So that's what that means. Is that what you meant, babe? Okay. All right, let me read some scriptures. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 2. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. Here it says some. In Matthew 24, Jesus said many. So how many is it going to be? I don't know. Some are like, well, it's only going to be some. Well, then Jesus said it will be many. I don't know. I don't know the number. I just know it's significant enough where it's actually one of the two major signposts that Paul gives in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think, where he tells the coming of the Lord and the rapture will not happen before these two major prophetic end-of-the-age signposts happen. One of them is the Antichrist will declare himself to be God in the temple. How many of you know that's a pretty landmark thing? You know what the other one he gives that's on par, the same level of landmark, and the great falling away takes place. So some, many, I don't know, but it's going to be significant. We're going to know about it. It's not this, like, to say, well, it's already happened. People have been falling away from Jesus since the beginning. Judas did. You guys with me? Judas denied Jesus, and so while he was still alive. And so this has been happening from the beginning, but there's something that happens at the end of the age the Bible talks about that's going to be so significant that the worldwide body of Christ will take notice of it. So it says, in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will. Here's what they'll do. And I talked about two movements. There's a demonically energized societal pressures that will create a falling away. Listen to this. They will follow deceptive spirits. See, I told you that I was right. And teachings that come from demons. Bam. Right? I mean, he said it just as clear as I said it. That's why I can say it so clear. No, that's why they're turning away from the faith. It's not arbitrary. They're not just turning away from the true faith and it's just like in a vacuum, they just had this idea. There's a demonic spirit that's planting ideas in their mind that are false. And when they embrace the ideas and they begin to act on them and follow them, they deny the faith and they turn away from Jesus. But they're following demonic spirits. That's what it says right here. Verse 2, these people are hypocrites and liars. Their consciences are dead. That is so scary. Everybody say, I love my conscience. Say, my conscience is a gift from God. You know, you need to believe that. It's like, what? One of the number one pieces of advice I could give you for how to avoid falling away from Jesus, don't go against your conscience. Because it's a slow fade. I've never heard or known of somebody who was on fire on Monday. On fire, passionately in love with Jesus, and then on Tuesday, outright denied the faith. It's a slow fade. You start out on fire. You're walking in sound doctrine, but then you get thoughts, you get ideas, you start buying into philosophies that are trendy and become more and more popular in society, and you start identifying with, oh, I feel so bad, your sad story, and so, oh, man, how could we have treated you like that? It made you feel excluded, and then we start sympathizing, and we get away from the word. You guys with me? And what happens, though, is when we get off, the Holy Spirit is the faithful witness. And you know what he does? Our conscience will prick us when we get off. We're on fire, and our heart is tender. Our conscience will be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have watched that. I shouldn't have listened to that. It's like, well, all my friends like this movie. All my friends say this guy is such a talented musician. And it's like, but you listen to it and your heart goes, I would ask you this. What's the message being promoted in the song? And then what spirit is promoting that message? You should ask yourself those questions about the things we entertain and watch, entertain ourselves with. Because I'll tell you, I could tell you this. I'm convinced of this. Maybe I'm wrong. I think I'm probably right. We'll find out. But you know what I think? I think one of the primary ways that Satan, the spirit of the age, seduces people and gets them to agree with his philosophy, which is Antichrist, is through movies. It's through the media, through music. I think Satan is going to have extraordinarily gifted, talented, even demonically anointed musicians and singers who will have a voice that will bring you to tears. But the message they're promoting is a message that takes you away from the gospel. And I think there's going to be masses of people gathering in concerts, weeping, just emotionally stirred up by things that actually, because when your emotions get stirred up by something, you're vulnerable. And then the lie is going to be planted. And if they agree with it, it's going to start them on a journey toward a path that takes them away from the Lord. At the same time, God is raising up anointed musicians and singers and actors and theatrical productions that are going to be so powerfully anointed by the Spirit that masses of people will listen to it and watch him. Their heart will be stirred, and the message in it leads us to Jesus. This, both are going to be happening at the same time, but you have to choose which movement you're going to be a part of, because you can't be a part of both. Matthew 24. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking about the end of the age and the pressures that are going to come. I mean, check out this gauntlet of things that he tells us. This is what you get to run through. You get to run through this gauntlet of booby traps everywhere. It's like a minefield. You know, seriously. It's like, imagine this field in front of you. God's like, all right, here's the deal. There's like a million bombs, mines in this field, and all of them are active and deadly. All you got to do is get to the other side, and you're going to be good. And he warns us, though, here's the areas where the bombs are, and he gives us what we need to know. So here's some of the bombs. He says, then you will be arrested. Are you prepared in your heart to be arrested for your faith? I showed you a video about a month ago. Remember that video I showed you guys? And that whole family, the whole household got saved? Remember that famous singer? You know, the main guy, the white guy, who was leading them to Jesus, and they were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? That was in, is it the Netherlands or Denmark? I can't remember where he's from. Denmark? You know where he is today? He's in the United States seeking asylum, because he was persecuted in his home country for doing what we saw him do on that video. You know what happened? a reporter called him up and says, man, you're doing good things for our country. You're, I mean, people are getting healed. Like, you're doing good things. Can I come with a camera and just film what you're doing? And he seemed like a really good guy. And so he's like, sure. Well, the guy comes, but he had an agenda. And he comes into the meetings, and you saw demons manifest in people. It looks really ugly at first, but then a few minutes later, it looks really beautiful when the demon's gone. And they're saying, I'm free! I'm free! Right? But what the guy does is he would, like, demons would start manifesting, and he would film it, but he wouldn't show the freedom part. He just showed the scary part. And then in the meeting, totally unrelated, a totally separate time, there was a little toddler in the meeting who was, like, throwing a temper tantrum about something that they wanted and was, like, crying and screaming hysterically, and he filmed that. And then when he edited the video and spliced it all together, so it looked like the way he put the video together and showed it to the nation, it's like the demons, they show the people freaking out, and then he shows the kid screaming, and it looks like he's being terrified by this thing that's happened. The government got a hold of it there, and actually, you can look at the details on this, but passed a law making it illegal, I think, to cast out demons, I think, in front of kids or something like that. And actually, to the point, he was being persecuted to the point, and even some of those who were close to him, believers, because of the pressure. I mean, there was this campaign, even in the whole government. It was looking like they were coming to actually take his children from him, because they said that he was abusing children, and he was mentally and emotionally abusing children. It was a totally false report. Somebody with an agenda. And so he took his family and he left and he came to the United States, and his court is going, his case is in the works right now. He's got an attorney and he's appealing to the United States that they would let him stay here in asylum because of the persecution he's undergoing there. Guys, this stuff is like nothing new. I think sometimes the church is so... We have this dream of being famous. So the reporter says, I want to do a story on you. This is my moment. I'm going viral, baby. It may not be in the way you want to go viral. So it's like, do I say no to all reporters? Do I say yes? We need discernment. At the same time, God uses reporters to report things and get the word out. The Brownsville Revival went to the nations of the world. They did zero advertising, but it was on the front page, like the New York Times. The news channels were doing stories about it, and the word got out there, and God used the media to actually broadcast what he was doing in Pensacola, Florida, and the nations heard about it and came. We need wisdom and discernment, but we don't need to be... Anyway, I'm getting off on a thing. You will be arrested. There you go. That's what I was talking about. But this is real. This is very real. You know, in our society right now, just with the laws that are being passed in different states, in the United States, and that are being attempted to be pushed through on a national, federal level, basically making it illegal for a parent or anyone to counsel somebody against walking in sinful desires, homosexual desires. In California, it's illegal for a counselor or even a parent to seek help from a counselor who has a child that says, I feel I'm struggling with these desires, but I don't want it. I want help overcoming this. It's illegal for them to give that child help, even if they want it. But guys, it's going way farther than this. That's nothing. You're going to be arrested, you'll be persecuted, and even killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. I think sometimes there's this philosophy in the American church that I don't think is right. And it's like, I think it's well-intentioned, but there's just kind of this thing where we want to be the darling of the world. And I'm not saying this very clear. We think everybody's going to like us. But they're not going to. Many will. Because God's grace and favor is on our life, and people will. I find people all the time that love me. Because, and I know it's God's favor on my life, so I can be a blessing to them. You guys with me? But at the same time, I'm well aware, I could find plenty of people that will hate me for the same reasons that the others love me. Who are you living for? If you're living to make people like you, you're living under a delusion, and you will always compromise your faith to please people. But if you're living to please the Lord, if you're living to please the Lord as your number one objective in life, it will give you the courage and the boldness to be authentic in every environment you go into. And you'll be a light that leads many out of darkness. But how about that prophecy? This is a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled by Jesus. You will be hated all over the world. I mean, how's that for a Sunday morning sermon? I told you, he warns, he's a good shepherd. If this was going to happen, wouldn't you rather me know about it up front? Rather than go into it thinking, I'm a Christian now. Everybody's going to love me. I'm not violent like I used to be. I'm not dishonest. Everybody's going to love me. Why does everybody hate me? Why is this all happening? It's like, I'd rather him tell me at the beginning, hey, I love you. You're a lot better than you used to be. You're awesome now. I really like you. And there's a lot of people that love you a lot now because of what I've done in you. But a lot of people are going to hate it. You go out there and say, guess what? I've been set free. I'm not doing my sin anymore. And there's some good-natured people who will be like, I'm so happy for you. That's great. But there'll be others who, they'll be like, are you judging me and telling me that what I'm doing is wrong? And they're not going to be happy for you. They'll be anti-happy. But, you know, we need to arm ourselves with this information and have a reality check. So then when it happens, it's not like, oh. It's like, you know what, Jesus, it's still not fun. It still hurts. But Jesus said this was going to happen. And he told me to bless my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. And you can prepare your heart if you arm yourself ahead of time mentally. You know, there's going to be people who hate me. And as we get closer to the return of Jesus, there's going to be a lot more of them. I'm going so slow through this. Verse 10. And many will turn away from me. Do you see it? It's the words of Jesus. Many will turn away from me. That means they knew him, but they'll turn away from him. Now, that would be bad enough. Just imagine a significant percentage of believers, many of them family members, who turn away from the faith. That would be bad enough, except it gets worse because he doesn't stop there. Listen to what he says next. And betray and hate each other. He says, they're not just going to betray me. They're going to turn on you too. The trusted brother that you prayed with and you saw God come through and do a miracle in his life to help him. The father, the spiritual father, the spiritual mother, the daughter that you raised and sacrificed. When they turn away from Jesus, they will actually betray one another as well to save their own skin or for their own gain. That's a whole nother level. And I'm reading in Job right now. One of the things that's standing out to me is like on top of like all the hard stuff he had to go through, losing his kids and all this kind of stuff, and the sick, the boils, and the just living in continual agony, physical agony, emotional agony over all the pain. He saw all his riches. I mean, just like the most awful thing you could possibly imagine this guy is going through. Another test he had to endure on top of all that is enduring the harsh false accusations of his so-called friends in the midst of it. Like one of them actually, like here he is grieving the loss of 10 kids. And one of them says, your kids must have sinned against God. They deserved what happened to them. That's actually what they said. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to the funeral of a parent that just lost their child and saying that? I mean, you very likely might get punched. But that's what his so-called friends literally say to him. And he's innocent. Literally, he's innocent before God. God himself declared that he was innocent. And these guys are just like throwing salt on the wound, kicking him while he's down. And he has to endure that. That was another test. Can he endure that without lashing back at them in hatred? And he passed the test because at the end of the book, he prayed for his friends and God forgave them. But you know what? Hey, you're going to have to go through that same test. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated by people. And then you're going to do good things and be innocent and blameless before God. And people are going to twist the story like they did about that guy I told you about in wherever, Denmark. They're going to twist the story, false accusations. And and your heart is being tested in the midst of it. How will you respond? Will your heart grow hard and grow in bitterness? Because I'm going to tell you this. You need to hear this. You ready? Bitterness is like, you know, you've heard like marijuana is a gateway drug. A lot of times people take marijuana and they think, I'm just going to do this, I'll be fine. But then they end up on heroin and cocaine and other stuff. You guys with me? It's called a gateway drug. It softens you up, right? Bitterness is a gateway sin. Bitterness is a gateway sin. And when your heart grows hardened in bitterness toward people, it creates a hardened heart where you become vulnerable and susceptible to other temptations that you never would have done before because you're just trying to drown out the bitterness. Or you feel justified. You'll forget them. They're going to treat me like that, and you get this hardness, and then you just run to sin. That's why it says in the next verses, they'll betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Here it is. And the love of many will grow cold. This is the culture. The love of many will grow cold. I think one of the applications of that right there is bitterness that will just be such a heightened temptation because of all the betrayal, all the junk that's happening. Like, I don't deserve this. Like, why are these people saying that's such a lie? I'm thinking, like, I hear that story. I'm like, how can that reporter live with himself to purposefully, intentionally ruin a man's life to the point where his children are getting taken away from him? I mean, how do you live with yourself? And there's going to be so much of this type of thing, and it's going to create an environment where the temptation, even in the body of Christ, will be the love will grow cold. Because you know what? Forget people. None of them are trustworthy. I hate them all. Like, you know, and just our heart grows hard, and it's a gateway sin. And I think even that bitterness will actually contribute to the falling away that happens. Are you glad you came to church today? Oh, good. Verse 13. I'm just going to have to find a landing point. I told you I could preach on this for months. It's because there's so many scriptures. If you just read the Bible verses, it would take that long. It's so many Bible verses about this. 13. But the one who endures to the end will be what? Say, that's going to be me in Jesus' name. Okay, so if you're going to be one of the ones that endures to the end and ends up in the kingdom of God, like you're in the kingdom now if you follow Jesus. But I want to be in the end, I still want to be in the kingdom. You guys with me? And so if you want to be one who perseveres to the end, you're going to have to navigate your way through that gauntlet to get there, to the finish line. Verse 14, it talks about the other movement happening in the earth. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it and the end will come. I had this written down, so I'll share it, and then I'm gonna wrap up in 5 to 10 minutes. Some way I will get there. I want to make this statement, though, because this came to my heart earlier when I was praying. The stuff that we entertain in our hearts will soon be in our mouths and influence others. The stuff that we're entertaining in our hearts and our minds today will soon be in our mouth and will influence others. So when there's like philosophies and thoughts and values that you're entertaining through the music you're listening to, the things that you're watching, or whatever, just through even the political commentators that you listen to. There's lots of conservative political commentators that I do not want to listen to because there's a hatred in their voice. There's a wrong spirit there. There's a demonic spirit that is actually, they're bitter. And they're just spewing bitterness through a lot of their commentary. And even though a lot of what they say philosophically in terms of conservative values and things like that, I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. But the spirit that's coming out through it is hating liberals, hating this. I'm like, I don't hate them. Jesus doesn't hate them. I love them. I want to see Jesus rescue them out of darkness the way he rescued me out of darkness. But the stuff that we entertain in our minds, in our hearts, it ends up in our mouth. Like at first we're just thinking about it and it's influencing us for good or for bad. But eventually it's going to be in our mouth. It comes out always out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And then it begins influencing others for good or bad. And so you want to guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. You want to guard your heart. Because here's the deal, like, I think, like, I want to be one who, one, lives in righteousness, endures to the end and gets saved, but then I want to lead a whole bunch of others, especially my family members and those close to me. I want to lead a whole bunch of others. I want to strengthen them through my example and through the words I speak. The word of God is true. Stick to it. It's gonna prove right in the end. I think, I see it coming. I see a landing strip. I just forgot it. Good thing I still got fuel left in this plane. I'll just keep going until I see the landing strip. No, I'm joking. No, I, what was I saying? Oh, there's something so good. I really wanted, oh, yes. Okay, storyline, biblical storyline. Just, if you really know what the Bible says, read the whole thing. From beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, it's one story. It's obvious and it's clear. There are two groups of people in the earth. Those who are living in sin and those who are living and follow for Jesus and following him. Those ones get saved. There'll be a great rebellion. The war mounts up to a climax. And at the end, Jesus returns to the earth and crushes the rebellion, and all of the rebels, including the devil and all his angels, are thrown into the lake of fire forever. And those who were loyal to Jesus shine in the kingdom of God, reigning with him forever and ever. This is the storyline. If you really, you know that the gospel that we believe, it's not just the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's not the whole story. It's the life, death, resurrection, return, and reign of Jesus. That's the whole gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. It's about his life, his death, his resurrection, which makes it possible for us to be with him when he returns and reigns on the earth forever and ever. That's the whole story. So if we really believe the gospel, the message of the Bible about Jesus, the whole thing, man, to think about like, okay, so it doesn't throw me off that people are turning away from the faith. It makes me sober. God guard my heart that that would not be me, because it could be if I don't stay close. But it doesn't like rattle me. I'm like, he said this was going to happen. Everything's happening exactly like he said. The more people that hate us, it's not like, oh, I can't believe all these bad court decisions and horrible laws. It's like, I can believe it. I read the Bible. I totally believe it. But I see the missions moving. I see the move of the Spirit happening, the good stuff that God's doing. I see it all, and I'm like, it's exactly like he said in the Bible. Everything is happening like he said. If anything, when I see these things, they affirm my faith in the Word of God, not shake it. But if I really believe the whole storyline, I know how it ends. So why in the world would I turn away from Jesus for a fleeting moment of people cheering me on and celebrating me, for to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a fleeting moment? I know he comes back and then I'll be in the lake of fire forever. Like, no, thank you. I'm sticking with Jesus. You guys with me? It's as simple as that. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe the gospel? And if you believe it, you will cling to him. You will cling to him. Why don't you stand up with me? I'm just going to read this. I'll try not to expound on it, but just hear the words of Jesus at the end of the book of Revelation. He who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior will inherit these things. He's talking about heaven. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowards and unbelieving and abominable, I want to preach it so bad, but who are devoid of character and personal integrity, and practice or tolerate immorality. Hello. And murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs, and idolaters and occultists who practice and teach false religions, and all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist the truth. Their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you believe that this is true? If so, it's very clear what we need to not do and what we need to do. Amen? So I want to pray for ourselves, for our families, for our children, for our brothers and sisters. God, would you strengthen us to persevere in devotion to Jesus all the days of our lives? Father, we ask you right now. God, we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the warnings in your word. And we just declare we believe them all. We believe the promises and the warnings. And we're going to respond in faith to the promises and in faith to the warnings by doing what you say to prepare ourselves. God, would you help us to grow stronger in our faith, to go stronger in our devotion to Jesus. Help us to break free from sin. Help us, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, even now, that entertainment choices that we've embraced, that our conscience was bothered 3 months ago, but now we're still entertaining ourselves and it doesn't bother us anymore. God, I pray that you would stir up the conviction once again and help us to turn away from it. Help us to give us discernment to see things that we're entertaining in our minds, ideas, philosophies, even things that our friends think are really cool and it's trendy to just go along with it. God, if help us to identify what's behind it. And if it's from you, embrace it. And if it's not, to be innocent and have nothing to do with the evil. God, give us courage to come out of darkness fully and to walk in the light fully. We trust you, Lord, and we just declare this promise that he who has began this good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of your return, Jesus. And we trust you, God. We trust you. And we just pray that you speak to us and stir our hearts on these things and help us to respond in a godly way with love, with obedience, with faith, and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, man. Love you guys. I encourage you, read Hebrews and 2 Peter. Excellent stuff.